KC2NVM, listening for any calls.
KC2NVM, this is KC2GDQ. Good morning, and it is Friday.
Good morning, B-Rab. How are we today?
I am doing pretty good. Getting my gear ready to head down for the 22 long rifle 50-yard shoot this morning.
Is that going to be out of technically the new building, or do you guys do it from the other side?
The 50-yard stuff is out of the new building. There's a couple of guys that do 100 yards, and they do it on the old range.
I've never gone to a Friday match because I've always been working. How are they?
They're fun. Obviously, you know, you're focused on your shooting. But I get there about 8 o'clock because if I get it there any later, I might miss a spot. Well, maybe not today so much. But, sometimes they're pretty crowded, the first relay. They usually do a second one. It's pretty decent. For me, it's just another thing to shoot, so I go and have fun. I'm not as good as let me rephrase that. I don't have as good equipment as some of the other guys where they'll shoot a 199 out of a 200 at 100 yards, but they're shooting these way expensive rifles with compensators on them and, you know, really good scopes and stuff. I shoot about a 188 out of 200 with a field rifle.
Yeah, I've seen some of the guns that these guys have and the rests they have. And they baby powder and the gun moves and the rest with the baby powder as a lubricant. And some of them don't even have to look through the scope. Or they don't sit behind the gun. They have a photography button that they use to touch the trigger. And it's like, is that really shooting at that point?
Right. One of the first times I was there, I saw a guy, he had his gun all bolted in a lead sled, and all he did was look just to see where his last shot went and fired another bullet. To me, that's not shooting. That's just looking at your accuracy of your rifle, which you want to do at some point. For me, at least, I do have Dan Covert lets me borrow his rest. And I set the rifle in it, but I'm still steering that rifle. It's still pretty much on me. So, going to try some different ammo today and see if that makes a difference.
Yeah, some of these guys have more money than sense, and they just throw money at the problem rather than just sit behind the rifle and throw a couple extra boxes down there.
Yeah, when I first started doing this, I used one kind of ammo, and then I decided, I cleaned it really good, and then I started using it, one brand of ammo, and I stuck with that for quite a while. And it seemed, like I said, I got about a 188, unless it's really windy. If it's really windy, then my all bets are off. So I bought some new ammo, and I'm going to try that for the next 3 or 4 shoots to see does it like this particular ammo and go from there.
Yeah, I found that I bought just about every 22 there was on the market and figure out what my gun likes and then went from there. But yeah, ammo makes all the difference. And some of these guys spend way too much on either the Eli or the Aquila. It can get ridiculous.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the guys one time, and, you know, he had bought a particular brand of, I think it was Ely ammo from someplace in Texas because, well, that was what he said his gun liked. And so he stayed with it, so I get that. But you're right, there's guys that just spend tons of money on it. I go just to have fun, just because that's what I wanted to do when I retired, shoot more.
Same rules apply on Tuesday night. nobody wins a Winnebago. There's no grand prize at the end of all this. Some guys treat it as if they get a vacation home in Cuba or something if they win.
Right, exactly. And I, like I said, I go, I'm shooting against myself. I'm not shooting for any prize. I'm just shooting against myself, and I'm just trying to get better each time I go. And it seems like I've reached a plateau, so it's either me, which it could be, my equipment, or my ammo. And so, you know, if something comes along and there's a really good rifle for sale for a reasonable price, maybe I'll buy it. But I'm just having fun, so why not?
Exactly. I was at the radio club last night. Got there around 5:30. Left there around 11:30.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I was going to go last night, but I went to the Steel Challenge last night. Left there, and I was on the way home. I had to stop at the house. I didn't want to leave my gear in the truck, so I dropped it off, and then I got hungry, and that was that. But was there a big crowd there?
Not a huge crowd, but there were definitely people in every room. And I had brought my bag of tricks, and there's a guy, Dennis Schultz, who's really easy to get his goat, just about anything, but he has a slight obsession with Buffalo Trace bourbon lately, because I brought a bottle to the club and was passing it around, and then he's been trying to look for it, and I got a bottle in my trunk from a guy that used to be a member of the club, but doesn't drink anymore, and so I had it, so I brought the bottle out last night, and he happened to be there. He's like, where'd you find that? And I said, Dennis, I got connections. I know how to get stuff. And I'm like, if you give me $30, you can take it home with you, or we could just crack it. And he's like, well, let's just crack it. So we ended up opening the bottle, went through half of it with a bunch of people, and then I started breaking out a couple of the toys, and he just, oh, my God, you got one of those, too? So he's like, you cost me a lot of money. I'm like, I don't cost anybody any money. You are the one that spends your money.
Exactly. I agree. Yeah, Paul, I can't remember what his last name is, Paul and Kim. Paul was talking last night about the Meshtastic antenna that you've got out at the club.
Oh, what was he saying about it?
Nothing bad. He said something about that you had this antenna on the club that you could send messages, and then I explained a little bit about what it was, and then he seemed okay with that. Yeah, that was really it. It was just more of a little comment. Nothing mean, nothing bad. It's just that you had this Meshtastic antenna on the club, and I thought that was cool. I didn't know that you'd put it there.
And I would rather it be a little more discreet, but unless you really know it's there, you don't know it's there. Kind of well hidden. Hopefully it doesn't get any gunshots. And, yeah, but I don't really seem to get a lot of traffic on it, but I have the exact same one at the house. And they are about 14 miles apart, straight line. And they don't talk to each other. There's too much stuff in the way, I guess. So now I need just to find something maybe in between so I can get the two of them to talk.
Yeah, the more I'm learning about this Meshtastic, it's getting a little interesting. I may have to do some search on the weekend and maybe put up my own little, what do they call them, nodes?
Correct. I have, I think, 11 nodes now, and I have one a guy's building for me that I have a full 1-watt radio going to go into it that'll match the one at the club and in the house. but that'll be a full 1 watt as opposed to a 30 milliwatt for the other two.
Okay, cool. So at least I have a resource if I decide to do this. This is KE2GDQ, and we'll see if there is anybody else out there.
Good morning, guys. K2PCV here. As Ross often says, he was just kicking back, enjoying the conversation, and that's what I was doing this morning. Nice little change of pace, so I didn't want to interrupt. And I caught up to Jeff. In fact, I'm tailing him around the corner onto Hinchy now. And, yeah, so I'm almost there, so I won't deviate from your conversation, but just say good morning, guys.
Good morning. So my little thing now is I got to bring up, like, Google Maps and put my house and put the gun club and see if I can find a place halfway between the two and see if I can strategically put up another node somewhere with a little height, maybe. Maybe do a little covert, overt. Crawling over a telephone pole or something.
Are these battery operated or plug-in?
The two that I have are solar. So they have like a 5-watt solar charger on them. And so they're set it and forget it. And so far the two have been working pretty good in the wintertime.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I'm going to have to look into this more.
You can get a really nice node handheld for right around like $50-$60. And then they have pretty much every flavor from like realistically $20 and up.
So MeshTastic is sending and receiving basically text messages on them. Do you have to have you have to have some sort of address to get it to the right destination, right?
Kind of. There's 8 channels per radio. The main one is just called Long Fast, and it just sends out messages. Then, like on your second channel, you can put an encryption key to where on my nodes I have, my second channel is called TNPL, Tuesday Night Pistol League. Nobody from TNPL has a node, but I have it just kind of locked there for my own sanity. Then, like, channel 3 might be Lancaster Amateur Radio Club. So then if there's people there that have them, and I want to create, like, a small little network for the inner site, then I can have them and give them the encryption key, and then messages can go out on channel 3 to where only the people that are given the key can get messages. It's encrypted, and you don't need a license for it. There is an option to put your call sign in it, like being a licensed operator, but then it removes the encryption capability, because as a ham radio operator, we are not allowed to encrypt. We can encode, but we can't encrypt. So a lot of the guys are, if you put your credentials in, nobody's going to talk to you because everybody is off-grid, not as a licensed operator.
This sounds all very interesting. I think I'll be doing some more research. I mean, I've been hearing about it. I know that the guys at the club have been working on these MeshTastic devices a couple times I've been there. I've been hearing it in some of the, I won't say nets that I've been listening to, but the group conversations that I've been listening to. So, it's definitely piquing my interest.
And then there's a guy at the club who, we call him Mr. MeshTastic. He's been handing out nodes, like the little seed nodes that are like an inch by inch, and they usually cost like $10, and he's just been handing them out to people that don't have anything and saying, here, play with this. Then he'll host once a month a meetup somewhere, and I've gone to one of those. It was kind of fun, and he also likes to take found products like a solar light from Home Depot and take out the light or add a meshtastic radio to it and throw the antenna on it and then have that where he can put it up somewhere and set it and forget it. He has like maybe 100 nodes that might be up and about. He's kind of fun.
Wow, 100 nodes. That's incredible. And then I guess you can monitor the 100, or you just monitor the traffic through there?
So ideally, you could have one node around your neck, and then all your other nodes are just out in the ether, and you can send messages and receive messages because they all talk to each other independently. So you limit to like 7 hops because it has a time of life to where it will be put at 7 is the max. So if you're in a congested area to where you have a node every 20 feet, every node's going to hear and then retransmit that. So you can just quite congested. So most people just have it on 3, but if you're more rural, you can put it at 7 hops and you get a little bit more distance. But the more nodes you have, the more robust your network.
That all makes sense.
All right, well, I have to get going. It's 6:47. I'm running a little late. Travis already walked in. He kind of waved and walked in. So 73s. Talk to you Monday, if not sometime over the weekend, if you're out and about at Blaze Dome. KC2NVM, have a good night, everyone.
73, Jeff. This is KE2GDQ, and we're clear of this channel.